Hello, beautiful souls, and welcome to the Harmony Inspired Health Podcast, an evolution to your higher self, where ancient wisdom meets modern living. I'm Harmony, your podcast host. Leveraging my expertise as an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner and clinical business mentor, I engage in genuine conversations with industry leaders, delving into the realms of health, wellness, Ayurveda, and the art of holistic success. Our mission here is clear: to inspire, educate, and empower you as you step into your higher self, unlocking your true potential and the secrets to embracing a life of purpose and impact. Hit subscribe, and if you're on iTunes, a 5-star rating helps spread the wisdom far and wide. Get ready for a holistic adventure as we explore the path to holistic success. Welcome to the Harmony Inspired Health Podcast and the evolution to your higher self. Okay, guys, the tables have turned and I am actually getting interviewed in this episode. The wonderful Mariah, who is the creator of the lifestyle brand Muse by Mariah, which discusses topics that dive deep into mind, body, and soul, is interviewing me on her podcast. And it was such a great episode that we wanted to share it near, far, and wide. It is all about the power of Ayurveda and your higher self in modern living. So I hope you really enjoyed this episode. If you do, please give us a shout out on Instagram and tag us at Harmony Inspired Ayurveda. And feel free to message me and let me know what you think. And if you have any other episode topics that you would love covered by myself, I'm always open ears.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Muse by Mariah, the podcast. Today, I have a very special guest. She is joining all the way from Australia. Her name is Harmony. She is a women's health practitioner and she studies holistic health and Ayurveda. And we're going to dive a little bit deep into that today, which I'm so excited to learn, not only for myself, because it's something that I've always wanted to get more into, but also for my listeners. So Harmony, thank you so much for joining today and just talking all about this.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited. So before we get into exactly what it is you do, what Ayurveda is, and the holistic health lifestyle, if you want to just give like a brief background about who you are, how you came into this line of work, your brand, and everything that you do.
Yeah, sure. So I am an Ayurveda and women's health practitioner, and I'm the founder of the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy, where we certify people to become Ayurveda holistic health coaches. I have a background actually in Western allopathic medicine. I was trained as a registered nurse. I am still a registered nurse, but have always had a deep, deep passion for natural health and healing. And I think through my own struggles, which a lot of health practitioners, you'll find usually they've gone through their own struggles and come out the other side, and it really inspires them to help others. So after birthing my twin boys, who are now aged 11, I went through, a few health struggles, which I've always been quite a healthy, active person. So for me, it was like, what the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. And I suffered with a lot of hormonal imbalances, gut health issues, and of course, anxiety. I was also doing a lot of things, navigating multiple responsibilities in my personal and business life. I was working as a nurse, I was running a business at that stage, as well as having new twin babies and studying. So I really turned to Ayurveda on my own quest for optimal health and well-being. And when I saw the profound positive shift that it had in my own health and well-being, I knew that I really, really wanted to spread the word and share this amazing wisdom with the world.
I love that. And I think especially nowadays, we're coming more into a more healthy, organic lifestyle with like the vegan. We are getting a lot more options in supermarkets. We are learning the importance of moving our bodies. And there's so many different platforms now with social media and just online resources and showing us how we can do this in our everyday lives, whether we set aside 5 minutes for it per day or we can set aside an hour. but I have a lot of questions to ask you. But before I ask the questions, I think it would be best if you can just give your definition of what Ayurveda is and how it's used to cleanse our bodies.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ayurveda is one of the oldest forms of medicine known to man. It stems from India and it was first documented in the Vedic texts like over 5,000 years ago. Obviously, we didn't have printers and paper, so it was handed down through the oral route and then written on palm leaves because that's what they had to write on to make their little textbooks. In Australia, where I am based, an Ayurvedic practitioner works very similar to a naturopath. However, there are certain principles and theories that are very unique to Ayurveda, including the doshas, which are the three energy types that make up your individual constitution. So our dietary and lifestyle recommendations, herbal medicine prescriptions and treatments will take your individual constitution into account. And that goes for if we're taking you through a cleansing process or a panchakarma as well. The word Ayurveda itself means the science and knowledge of life and longevity. So the Aya part of the word is means life, and Veda, the Vedas, is the science, the knowledge of. And so therefore it's the science and knowledge of life and longevity. And really Ayurveda is, at its core, it's about cultivating a greater greater sense of self-awareness and greater balance in our life. And the insights are drawn from nature. Ayurveda really recognizes that we're a part of nature. We're not separate from nature. And biologically, we fit in with nature's circadian rhythms. And over time, though, we have gone against this, causing more and more health problems with our modern day way of living.
Mm-hmm. So this is the question that I want to ask, because with your background as in the nursing field and now doing this and the holistic lifestyle, how do you feel about like prescriptions and pills? So like, for example, I have a underactive thyroid, so I take thyroid medication every day and I think I have to take it for the rest of my life, which I just hate knowing that that's what I have to do. So how do you feel, you don't have to get too deep if you don't want to, but just how do you feel about like a prescription-based healthy cleansing way in comparison to the holistic Ayurveda way?
So I am all about bridging the gap between Western allopathic medicine and science and natural health and Ayurveda. There's definitely a place for both, and I feel that each plays a role in healthcare. I find a lot of people in the natural medicine world are very quick to judge the modern medicine world without real insight. And the same goes for medical practitioners in regards to natural or alternate health practitioners. Whereas I've been in both, I've seen the limitations of both and I've seen the beauty of both. Modern medicine and science is great with acute care, but not always chronic or preventative illnesses. However, it has come up with some, you know, life-saving and life-changing things like your thyroid medication, for instance. Mm-hmm. So you may need to be taking that to have optimal thyroid function, but then you would be, modern medicine doesn't really teach us about the lifestyle and the dietary benefits that can even optimize your health even further. So it doesn't mean it's one or the other. It's about combining the two. And when you have the understanding of both and the appreciation from both, it really empowers you to truly understand how your body functions and how you can use a multi-dimensional approach to your healthcare.
Right. Yeah. And I think, so recently I just went to a wellness resort in Arizona and they had like smoothies that were Ayurveda mango smoothie. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know this was like an actual tangible thing. And then there's a coffee shop actually near me that has Ayurvedic gold milk, which is like with turmeric, cinnamon, and made with oat milk. So how, like what makes it Ayurvedic? Like how does the food, how does the yoga, the meditation, the mindfulness, how is this all under the same umbrella when it's literally like all different things?
Yeah, such a good question. So Ayurveda is a holistic health science. And so Ayurveda, it doesn't just look at the physical aspects of the body, although it does do that. It looks at very much so the physical aspects of the body, but it also incorporates our mental and our emotional health. It also incorporates our spiritual health and our connection to self and our connection to purpose, that connection to Dharma. So it's really this holistic health science. It's not just one avenue. And Ayurveda itself, when we're looking at it from a medical standpoint, has eight mm-hmm. different branches. And, you know, some of those branches include like rejuvenation therapy, gynecology, longevity and aging, pediatrics, surgery. Like it is such a, I guess from what you're asking is like, it really is broad because it is a holistic health science and medicine within itself. It's a lifestyle, it's a philosophy, it's a preventative medicine, it's an active medicine. When people first hear of Ayurveda, they usually associate Ayurveda with just an Ayurvedic diet, so the food component of Ayurveda, or the doshas, mm-hmm. which is our individual constitution, because people like to learn about themselves, which is really interesting. But it's so much more than that. It's, like I said, it's a lifestyle and it's a medicine. So when you go to a restaurant, for instance, and they're claiming that their food is Ayurvedic, it can mean so many different things. A, it could be really trendy marketing at the moment. B, it's got some turmeric in it, which is like a really well-known Ayurvedic herb and spice. So they're like, it's Ayurvedic. Mm-hmm. Or it could be specifically a balanced meal that does balance all of your doshas, and it's an Ayurvedic meal. So the thing with Ayurvedic nutrition, it is also very individualized. So depending on what your constitution is, depends on the type of nutrition you'd be consuming. So generally when a restaurant's claiming for the meals to be Ayurvedic, they should be, I guess, wholesome, as fresh as possible. So a lot of prana, life force energy in the food, a balancing meal. It wouldn't be too cold. It would be room temperature to warm, easy to digest. Mm-hmm. It depends on what that cafe or restaurant perceives, how they perceive it to be Ayurveda.
Interesting. So does this include meat, or is it more of like fruits, vegetables, spices?
Yeah, no, it can include meat as well. And everything, when we look at nutrition, Ayurvedic nutrition, Ayurveda talks about the six different tastes, and to have a balanced meal is to have all of those tastes within the meal. And when we're looking at meat, for instance, from an Ayurvedic perspective, it actually has more of a sweeter taste. Therefore, meat is okay and can be nourishing for a Vata dosha, whereas too much of that for Kapha is going to put them imbalanced.
Interesting. So it falls basically under, I mean, I'm based in New York in the United States, and like fast food and the food here is just horrible. But knowing that it's just the way you eat and the things that you put into your body and having the freshness. So it's not narrowing down to one specific diet. Like it's not narrowing down to vegan diet, keto, gluten-free, any of those. It's all under the same umbrella. It's just how you consume it.
Yeah, exactly. And how that diet serves you and your individual constitution.
Interesting. So it's all different for everybody, depending on their dosha.
Yeah. So anything that we consume, whether that's, you know, nutrition or whether that's thoughts or any activities we do, our environment, it's going to affect our dosha and our balanced state. So it can either bring us more back closer to our natural balanced state, or it can aggravate it and take mm-hmm. us away from the balanced state. So Ayurveda is really about, you know, that greater self-awareness where we can align ourselves with the food that serves us best or the activities mm-hmm. that serve us best and can balance our constitution at that point in time.
Interesting. So what about physical movement? Is there like a certain kind of movement that would be considered Ayurvedic? And then I also wanted to ask about like mindfulness tools. Are there certain tools like mindfully spiritually that can better help suit this lifestyle or transitioning into this lifestyle? But you can start with the physical movement, because I go to the gym, I work out almost every day. So I would love to know what the correct or better approach would be for me.
I love going to the gym and working out every day as well. Like, movement is my medicine. So I think that's really important for an individual to understand what is their medicine. But I know that I used movement in the past to actually sort of punish my body or to make sure that it looked a certain way. And that actually isn't medicine. No matter what I told myself, it was harsh and it was harming my body and my thought patterns and my mental health as well. So when we find a movement or an exercise that suits our constitution, suits our body, then that can be medicine. But there's a saying in Ayurveda, one man's medicine can be another man's poison. And so we have to be very aware of what suits us and in that moment as well. So, you know, looking back at our natural constitutions, the doshas, the three doshas of Vata, Pitta and Kapha, and Vata, they're very active, but they can get full of, they can burn out very quickly and tire very easily because they're very active, they're very social, they can have a million different thoughts when they're imbalanced, and they like movement, and so they're often going for things that can be aggravating to them when they actually need more grounding when they're not balanced. A Pitta person, they build a lot of muscle very easy, but they can be very, very competitive. And so if they're just in competitive sports all the time, then that competitiveness can bring them out of balance and get them really fiery and angry and not in a good headspace. So sometimes they do need movement. They need to be able to sweat and move their bodies, but it might be about taking away the competitive edge to that movement and doing things that are more enjoyable. Like if you live near the ocean, maybe that's surfing or an ocean swim, like cooling the body down, because they can be very hot in nature. So it depends on what that movement or that exercise is doing for them. On the other hand, like a Kapha constitution, they when they're balanced, they can be wonderful athletes. They've got a lot of stamina, a lot of strength. But often with Kapha people is that they haven't trained that part of themselves, and they can become very lazy, very lethargic, and they need a bit of fire. They need movement every day. Like they need to get up and move their body, but they're the ones that are reluctant to do that. So again, it's about really individualizing your approach to your movement, to your exercise, and what works best for your body. And, you know, that might change over the years as well, because our doshas are affected depending on what stage of life we're in and we're at. So that, I hope that answers your question.
No, definitely. I've been told that I'm a Pitta. And I weight train a lot. I just started running, and it's hard for me to kind of incorporate the slower paced movement like yoga, Pilates, bar. I'm trying to do it at least once a week because I feel like it helps. It helps not only physically, but it helps mentally, and it helps just ground me and kind of create balance instead of me just like hardcore lifting crazy weights. And that has, does that sound right for a Pitta?
Yeah. So with, you know, your Pitta, you do need to move your body. Pitta is that dosha of transformation, and they have fire to burn. But sometimes you might have the tendency to, I guess, like even with your weight training, there might always be like to do more, to push, to get better, to get more gains.
All the time.
And that's not always the best thing for you. So it's good to have goals, but I think having an open mind to incorporating the other slower moving activities like the Pilates and like the yoga and the breath work is so important, just to tone that Pitta energy down and to keep it into a balanced state. But of course, yeah, keep doing like your weight training, especially if you really enjoy it. It's really good for the body. It's really good for the muscles and for a Pitta body. But just watch yourself and the way you're thinking about it, and always having to push yourself within that.
I like compete with myself, which is like, it's so annoying. And I just sometimes, like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym and I want to do this. And then I end up going to the gym and I don't end up doing it. I'm like, oh my God, like now I need to make this up later in the week. And it's like self-sabotaging my goals that I do have and that I want to achieve, because I'm just arguing and competing with myself. Like, it's literally a lose-lose situation no matter what.
Yeah. And Pitta is a very goal-orientated. And then when they don't meet those goals – they can be very, very harsh on their self. They have a lot of sort of relenting expectations they put on mm-hmm. themselves. And that can ultimately burn them out and put them into burnout mode, because it's not just with their workouts. It can be with their work, their business, everything. Their mm-hmm. family life, like whatever it is, they have like really high expectations on themselves yeah. and always striving to meet those. And that's where the imbalances start to come out. So I think for Peter, it's really important to know what you find joyful that isn't within the work realm or that competitive mm-hmm. edge. Like, what really is it that you can do just purely for fun that doesn't, you know, have any financial gains or is not goal orientated, and do more right. of that.
And I know you just mentioned breath work. So what are some mindfulness tools that can help you? I don't want to say achieve this lifestyle, because achieving kind of like says the end, but transition and maintain and the consistency of the holistic Ayurvedic lifestyle with like journaling, breath work, like what do you recommend? What do you do?
So I love that you said achieve, because it's just your pit is shining through there. Then you like corrected that. It's not a wrong or bad thing to say, but I'm just like, yeah, it's definitely better. So breath work is amazing. And again, breath work from an Ayurvedic practitioner standpoint is very prescriptive depending on the dosha. So someone who is more kapha, who needs to move energy and get that fire, then they need a breath work that is more heating, whereas a pitta might need more of a cooling breath work, and a vata needs more of a grounding breath work. So I know breath work is really trendy these days, but a lot of the breath work practices can be quite new age or quite masculine, or very, again, to do with marketing, and they get people in there hyperventilating and doing all of these weird and wonderful things, but it's not serving every individual constitution. For a vata person, it might be increasing too much anxiety through that breath work. A pitta person, it could be increasing too much heat. A kapha person, a different type, might be too cooling for them. So it's important to know, again, what type of breath work is the best for your constitution. And if you don't know that, then just a balancing breath work, like just a very calming breath work would be the best one to start with, because most of our nervous systems are too wired these days. So a calming breath work can be a good thing. But if you know that you are, you need more passion, you need more fire and more, you know, more energy, then obviously a calming breath work wouldn't be ideal for you. Right. I think when it comes to journaling, that's also really personal, and it can be really good for the Pitta dosha, because they have so much, they want so much structure, and like I said, so goal orientated that getting it down on paper can be quite cathartic for a Vata person whose thoughts can be quite jumbled up in their head, and they've got so many different messages coming through. They can be quite intuitive. They want to do a million different things. Just dumping it all on paper can be really, really useful for those people as well. And again, kapha people, I mean, journaling might be something they really enjoy, because they can sit there and slowly journal out their thoughts, but maybe their journaling needs to be more geared towards sort of what goals and achievements do they want to do, like putting in some action in behind that journaling. And of course, meditation is a wonderful, wonderful tool, and it just helps us to get back into a balanced state and give our mind a rest, which a lot of us need to do these days as well. So breath work, meditation, and journaling are all perfect, and getting out in nature and just grounding your feet in the soil or the sand, wherever you live, gazing up towards the sky, if that's available to you. Just being out in the elements is so important, because like I said at the start, you know, we are a part of nature. We're not separate from it, but our modern day living has really separated us from our way of being.
On top of all of these things that you listed, you speak a lot about your higher self method on your website. And I just want to know a little bit more how you tie in everything that you just discussed with the mind, body, and soul, and connecting through this holistic lifestyle and including all of these Ayurvedic trends. how do you use, if you want to explain it first, and then you can just talk to me about how you connect it through all of these mind, body, and soul tools as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So after seeing and helping hundreds and hundreds of women through my Ayurveda Women's Health clinic, I saw a pattern in, what needs to be addressed to really achieve that optimal holistic health. And even with my students who go through the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. So I curated the higher self methodology, which is comprised of three pillars. And the first pillar is health alchemy, which is being able to optimize your health through a holistic and integrative approach. And it's really looking at health on all of those levels. So the physical, the mental, the emotional, mm-hmm. and the spiritual. And helping you cultivate that self-awareness of your own mind-body constitution, which is your dosha, analyzing your current lifestyle and integrating holistic healing modalities tailored to your individual needs that can help you achieve that optimal health and longevity. So when I'm seeing clients, we, look at all aspects of those health, parts of health, and then we'll individualize nutritional plans, lifestyle modifications, breath work, pranayama, herbs and supplement support, offer holistic health education that really empowers you to transform your health and achieve your highest potential. And then my next pillar is the empowered mind paradigm, and that's done through an Ayurvedic psychology approach for limitless belief transformation. And with this pillar, we gain a deeper understanding of the mind from an Ayurvedic perspective and how it impacts your beliefs, thoughts, and actions. So we identify your limiting core beliefs and learn how to question them and their meaning, replacing them with new empowered beliefs that align with how you want to show up, who you want to be, and how you want to support your higher self. So we know that no matter if it's that our health that we want to improve, or it's our business, or whatever it is in life, we can't excel or heal from a disempowered state. So this mm-hmm. pillar is really about getting you into an empowered mindset so that you can step into your higher self, and also understanding your own mental constitution. So just like the doshas, we have our own mental constitution as well that we need to be aware of,
right,
because
definitely.
Without that awareness, we can't shift it. And then the third pillar is dharmic impact through purpose-driven changes. And this is about making those purpose-driven changes that create a lasting impact on your life, your business, and community. And this is through like that deep connection to self, a clearer understanding of your purpose, and how you can align all aspects of yourself to embody your higher self and make meaningful impact in your life. And this, specifically for my Ayurveda Alchemist students, like if we're applying this pillar to within their program, then we're evaluating, their connection to their purpose and how they can build the right. soul of their business so they can be of service doing the things that they love. And with my health clients, it's also evaluating their intention and their vision and creating a step-by-step plan that aligns with their future goals. So they're not just going through like a health program and then come to mm-hmm. the end of it. It's like, well, how can we actually create these future goals and it be like a lifestyle? We don't have to be motivated to do all of these different things anymore, because we just show up as that person. It's just who we are. It's just our lifestyle that we've been able to align for our higher self.
And for someone who's hearing this and they want to take this next step to transition into this lifestyle, but we're just providing them with so much great information. What is like, because I always say, don't look at the end goal, don't look at the final picture, but just think about like that next little tiny step to take. And then you'll take the next little tiny step and then the next. And then you'll eventually get to like a consistency where it becomes who you are and your routine. So what's something small that someone who wants to do this can start off with? I know when I first started like transitioning into like a holistic spiritual lifestyle, it was through reading. Like I just found myself picking up a lot of self-help, I hate the word like self-help books, but like books that just, they're not you know, just a random fictional, non-fictional storybook, but things that actually helped me, can help better myself, whether it was mind, body, and soul, whether it was career. So that was my personal experience and journey. But do you have something where someone can just take a little step, whether it be reading, researching, joining you, having a session with you? What is something that someone can do if they want to transition and they're thinking 20 steps ahead when they should just think about the next one?
Yeah, sure. So I think, yeah, you're right. Like, I think be curious, and that's always a really good place to start, is be curious, be open to learning and not closed off. Like I even said at the start, you know, I'm about bridging the gap between natural health and modern medicine. I'm not closed off to either of those. Like, I'm very open, and I learn that way because I'm willing to hear what's out there. It doesn't mean I have to accept that as the truth for me, but I'm willing to be curious and to learn. And so reading up on these things is a great way to start. And, you know, I did a lot of that myself, but I think one thing that people miss here is that we can read all of the personal development books in the world, but if we're not actually implementing that, implementing that information, it's just information. It doesn't become wisdom until we actually implement it, and we don't get those gains, and we don't get to really embody the practice until we start implementing it. And that's the hardest part, but it's the most rewarding part. And when you go on this journey of self-discovery and personal development, so much stuff is going to be come up for you. Like, there's so many limiting beliefs, so much fear. And that's what I love about Ayurveda, because it does allow us to express those, but it also addresses all of those aspects to self. I do have a free Foundations of Ayurveda course if you're interested in learning more about Ayurveda and what it's all about, and that's on my website, harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au. And I also provide a lot of training in my the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood, which is a Facebook group. It's a free community. So if you do want to learn all about, like, how to step into your higher self, women's health and hormones, because that's my jam, as well as your purpose and dharma and all of those things that really encompass who we are, I share a lot in that group.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to join right after we're finished, because I need to be a part of it so I can keep learning this. But I think you're so right. It's reading all these things, but if you're not implementing it, or at least trying to incorporate it into your daily, weekly, monthly life, then it really is just like absorbing information and just going in one ear and out the other. It's not benefiting you in any way, shape, or form. But I think that being open is probably the biggest thing that you can do, especially when you're in a topic like this where there are a lot of, like you said, you're kind of like the middleman. You're not against one side. You're Switzerland. You're neutral. But I think being able to be open to this kind of lifestyle is, it's not going to do any damage. If you want to drink more teas, or if you want to read these self-help books, it's part of this holistic lifestyle. It's not, I think people also think it's something huge, like they're taking a huge step or risk into like an unknown territory, where it's like, no, if you choose to like eat healthy every day and you choose to move your body, you're already doing it.
Exactly. And I think just being really authentically you, like, that's like the biggest step. And I did, because I did struggle with it for a while, the fact that, you know, I was in two different worlds. Yeah. And I did struggle with, well, like, you know, who am I and how am I supposed to show up? But when I embrace both, I'm like, this is just me. This is who I am. And I feel really aligned with my values. And I feel like I can step into my higher self and show up that way, because I chose to just be authentically myself and accept what had great meaning to me in my life. So I think asking yourself those questions, like, what are the values that you want to live by, and are you showing up for those? That's a great step into cultivating more self-awareness and self-development and a holistic lifestyle.
I think that's totally, I 100% agree. And if I wanted to say the same thing to end that sentence, I definitely would. But because of all of the things that we spoke about in this episode today, I know it might be a little bit difficult, but is there one major takeaway that you want the listeners to get out of this a little over 30 minutes that we had together?
Yeah, I think I think the biggest takeaway and what I have learned through Ayurveda is about that self-awareness. And I know that I keep going on about it, and self-awareness can be one of those sort of throwaway in vogue sort of sentence words that a lot of health practitioners are using, but it at its core, it really is learning about yourself. You know, we go to uni to learn all these degrees, but we often don't take the time to truly understand ourselves, who we are, what our constitution is, what works best for us.
Right.
Asking ourselves those big questions, doing that through journaling, like really, really learning about yourself and applying those things. So I guess my biggest takeaway is get more curious about yourself and what you really enjoy and how connected you feel to your purpose and to who you are and how you want to show up. Because when you have that self awareness, it leads to self-empowerment. And when you have that self-empowerment, there's limitless possibilities that are available to you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And I think also I have to say something that I would want people to also take away is, like you just said, to be curious about yourself, to take the time to understand what you want, what you need, the changes that you would like to implement, and not base it off of other people who are already in this lifestyle, because everyone has their own original unique journey and it's going to look different. So don't compare. And I know I sometimes do that a lot. Like some people I follow, I'm like, wow, they're like just so good. They're so consistent. Like, oh my God, I ate French fries earlier. Like, I'm falling off. But I think comparison is like the biggest devil when it comes to really trying to get into this lifestyle and just be who you are. And if you're comparing yourself to other people, you're kind of taking away from yourself and the love that you should be showing yourself, the attention, the understanding, the patience, the time. You're taking away from all of that. So like you said, just be curious about yourself, take the time to understand what you need, and whether that's through reading, journaling, watching videos too, documentaries are great as well if you find a good one. I think being open and just taking the time for yourself is a huge, huge takeaway. And Harmony, I know you just mentioned your website, but if you want to go into any other places that you can be followed, whether it's social medias, I know you just said the Facebook group again. And then if you're listening and you miss any of this, all of the information will be in the show notes. So do not worry about that.
Thank you. Yeah, on Instagram, Harmony Inspired Ayurveda. So you can reach out to me there. I do have my own podcast as well, Harmony Inspired Health, where we talk about all different health and wellness topics. And yes, website harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au. And the Facebook group is the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood.
Thank you. And if you guys don't follow me yet, which you should be if you're listening to this, make sure you follow at @MuseByMariah_. I will also include the Muse by Mariah, the Facebook group chat, in the show notes link where you can join. And Harmony, I just want to say thank you so much for coming on and discussing this topic that I know I have been so curious about. And I've started to get more into the food side of Ayurveda. I've always been a physical body. I've always been into working out and moving, but I'm also starting to transition into including the lighter workouts like yoga, Pilates, barre, and cycle syncing. I don't know if you do any of that either, but it's been a game changer doing light workouts during that time of the month. Like that has been the biggest game changer. And I think that has helped me so much in my physical journey and helping with that self-sabotage aspect of it. Like, oh, you can take a couple of days to walk. Like if you're just walking, that is totally fine. But thank you so, so, so much again. And thank you to all the listeners. And we will catch you next time.
Thank you so much for having me. Big thanks for hanging out till the end. I'm curious though, did you skip the intro, eager to get into the juicy contents of this episode? No worries if you did,
but you may have missed my important announcement and the accredited Ayurveda Alchemist program that was calling your name. It's the golden ticket to becoming a certified Ayurveda and women's holistic health coach. Dive into ancient Ayurvedic wisdom and give your health and wellness biz the glow up it deserves. If you are ready to ride this transformative wave, apply at harmonyinspiredhealth.com.au/Ayurveda Alchemist. I hope you enjoyed this episode. It means a lot to me that you have taken time out of your day to listen. Let's keep the convo going on socials. Dive into our amazing community on Facebook full of soulful women like you, the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood Facebook group, where we keep these conversations going and offer other free live training. You can find me personally on Instagram at Harmony Inspire Ayurveda, or take a sneak peek into the Ayurveda Alchemist Academy on Instagram at Ayurveda Alchemist Academy. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss the next chat. And if you're on iTunes, a 5-star rating, it's like giving us a high five of podcast love. I appreciate you, my friend. Have a wonderful day or evening, whatever time it is in your part of the world.